This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Oh, you're not going to believe it. I talked her into staying over for a second week. Those of you that heard PT Talker last week, you know what I'm talking about. Susan Eisenhagen, she is famous in the world of work injury prevention and industrial rehab, and you are listening to PT Talker. Hi, I'm Jeff Worrell. I want to thank you for joining us again, and this is part two of Susan's discussion. Susan, thank you for joining us, taking your time to fill the listeners in on your great message that you've got. Welcome.
Well, I enjoy talking to fellow therapists, so thanks for the opportunity.
No problem. Now, last week, we talked about, well, I guess you are sounding the alarm. You were saying that physical therapists, for some reason, need to pay more attention to this industrial rehab. And I don't know if I'm using the right terminology. Would industrial rehab, would that be correct, or is it more refined than that?
I would really call it work injury management and prevention, because we're focusing on that part because it's of interest to the referral sources,
okay.
I guess.
All right, so we'll use work injury prevention, and I think I actually said at the end of our show last week, I remember 10 years ago, functional capacity evals, work hardening, return to work, all that, those were all hot buzz topics, but it doesn't seem like I hear about them all that much. Do you have a comment regarding that?
Yes, and you're right, and I was well in that forefront, because at that time, there were huge numbers of workers that had been off a long period of time, and everyone was focusing on these chronic, really expensive cases. I developed the first evidence-based functional capacity assessment specifically so that we could measure what a person could do regarding to work to take the place of subjective estimates. And that led into what do you do when they aren't able to mm-hmm. fully do their job because they're deconditioned, and that's how work hardening and work conditioning programs sprung up. And those programs actually did a great deal of good, that people that hadn't been at work needed that intensive rehabilitation that was work-oriented, and work conditioning and work hardening became very trendy and popular,
yeah.
And it paid well. Well, anything that pays well, a couple things happen.
Yeah.
Some people abuse it because,
gosh.
You know, you may charge too much and not have good outcomes, and people go, I'm spending a lot of money but not seeing any outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's related to therapists needing to keep outcomes so they can tell employers, here's the outcomes I get for
right.
your dollar. And so the other thing is anything that's expensive wants to be naturally cut by an insurance company. And so a sort of a combination is there may have been some overuse, and the natural instinct is to cut expensive programs. It just started getting whittled away. And without good outcomes, especially for work hardening, you really saw those programs dwindle just because they could be slashed.
Mm-hmm.
They still today are needed. Work conditioning, particularly a specialty of physical therapists, they're needed. And yet, how many therapists treat people in the clinic and say, well, your shoulder's better, and totally forget about the rest of their body that might be deconditioned?
Yeah, I hear that
a lot. Do they even know they're going back into a heavy industry? The other way I see it is it's used after physical therapy fails to put the person back to work. 6 weeks of physical therapy, it didn't work, they're not back at work, let's order some work conditioning. Well, in my mind, work conditioning needs to be done from the first day you see a person.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be job-focused, and you need to know what the job is and build on those skills. Even if a shoulder is injured, you can work on the rest of the body, and you can get that shoulder able to start to take on the load as you're working on strength and decrease in pain. You could be working on functional activities. So today, I think building that work conditioning and work focus in even to the acute care is going to provide excellent outcomes.
Yeah.
Depending on whether you're going to call it work conditioning, it depends on what state, how much it's going to be covered.
Okay. All right. Well, you are listening to Susan Eisenhagen. She is a well-known physical therapist operating in our world, and she is the chief operating officer of DSI Work Solutions. And Susan, I guess let's go ahead and turn now to one of the questions that we asked last week, and that is, all right, you say that physical therapists should pay more attention to this area, this new area. Things have obviously changed from where they were 10 years ago regarding industrial rehab. So how would someone go ahead and get involved now? What are the steps they should take, and what should be some of the goals they should have in their mind?
Okay, well, the first thing they need to know is who pays the bill. And that's sort of a strange way to look at it, but it really says who's interested in what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way a bill gets voluntarily paid is if they get value. So then if you look at work injury, where is the value? The value is in either preventing the work injury or it's in getting the person back to work sooner. And the two levels of expertise that you're going to need as a physical therapist, let's start on the prevention side. You're going to need to know how to do job analysis, write job function descriptions, and do ergonomics. Those are critical areas because you would never find a sports medicine therapist not knowing what sport was played by their patient. They all
sure.
know the football player and what position they
yeah.
are.
Yeah, mechanism of injury, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the need to be able to evaluate jobs in a complete, thorough, comprehensive, and yet clear manner is an aspect that you just can't overlook. No one should depend on a paper job description that hasn't been updated, sent by the employer.
Mm-hmm.
Some might be correct, but most just don't give you the information in the form you need it. So therapists can fill that gap. While they're on site, they should learn other programs like ergonomics, stretching programs. How do you do modifications of jobs within industry? It's a huge market with the expansion of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So some of it's going to be related to on-site training and experience. The other is to never give up our physical therapy skills to make a person better. That's still the crux of what we do. But to go beyond it like an athlete, what functional abilities do they need to do? How can I evaluate that? Well, if you've got the functional information from the job, you've got your template before you, what you need to test them against. What can they do and the things they can't do need to be your goals for rehab. And that, it, you know what it does? It keeps the worker in a worker mindset. They don't come in and go, I'm a sick patient with a back injury, woe is me, because I already had my x-rays and I already had this, I'm just a damaged person. No, they're treated as a lineman or as a Banbury operator or as a cafeteria server. It doesn't really matter. If you can give the person respect because you know the job, it helps keep them in the worker mindset and out of that disability mindset. Now, how can you structure your program?
Yeah, I guess what's going through my mind is if I have that cafeteria line worker in my program, do I need to have cafeteria line jobs set up or exercises, or how does that work?
Yep, just heading there, and that's a perfect question. First of all, no one learns functional capacity assessment in school. You just don't learn it. And the ability to evaluate work capacity in a patient is critical. FCAs, you mentioned earlier, still are a big market and have a large opportunity for therapists to do good ones. But you would use those same excellent functional evaluation skills even on the first day with a cafeteria line worker. What's safe for you to do? How can you do it? How do I evaluate? How do I know when you reached your maximum limit? How do I know when you're a light effort level and this is easy for you? In other words, if you were the cafeteria worker, Jeff, I wouldn't say, hey, how would that feel to you? I'd be watching you. I'd be watching you loading the trays. I'd be watching you carry the dishes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I need to know how your body is working, just like an athlete needs to know. You need to know if they can go back to be a linebacker safely. So that functional expertise is big.
So then I would actually do that in my office, or would I try and do that out at the job site?
Well, that's a really good question. You could do it either place. And you were asking, do you need a whole lot of tires or cafeteria trays or whatever?
Yeah.
You don't. You could have them, and it's often easy to bring those things in when you're working with a worker. But the essence of functional testing and work-related testing is to know what the body is doing. So I could give you something similar in weight and size to carry or to lift. It doesn't have to be a kettle of soup.
Yeah.
It really, that's part of how we would set up our clinic with functional activities. If I were, I would never have them carry soup anyway if I went back to the job. But sometimes you have to go back to the job once they get to the level you're ready to release them to work, to make sure that you're really discharging them at the work site. You've looked at it, all the ergonomics are there, that they can do it. But it could be done at the work site, which is the, I guess that's the hot new area. We have done so much training recently in how to do on-site physical therapy because I think people are looking in that area. But this is well done in a clinic with just minimal functional equipment, but the expertise of the therapist
is critical.
You got it.
And then conversely, this would be compared to that same cafeteria worker who comes into the typical physical therapy clinic and gets some home exercises, some ultrasound, a little bit of heat, and maybe some Ionto, I don't know. But, right? I mean, that's what we're actually comparing this to, how that cafeteria worker might have been treated previously.
Exactly. And that's what the majority are finding. They like the therapy, but, you know, they go back and they lift that kettle of soup and their back hurts all over again.
Right.
So we really haven't done anything in the long run except give them something temporary.
Because they may be lifting the kettle of soup incorrectly.
Exactly.
Yeah,
or maybe
okay.
they need to have two smaller kettles
right,
of soup.
Right, yeah.
Or, and that's why if you knew they lifted kettles of soup and you started out with light weights in your clinic as you're beginning to treat the back, they could work up and you're kind of rehabilitating them fully as a whole person while you're treating their back.
Yeah.
And I don't know one work comp payer, one employer, or one healthcare payer that wouldn't see that if you wrote your goals correctly, that wouldn't be fully paid for.
No kidding. And now we're almost out of time, but it just seems odd to me that the majority of our listeners out there wouldn't be asking, how did you hurt your shoulder? How did you know, what do you have to do? And trying then to also treat that as well. But you're saying that's maybe not the case.
They might ask, and they might know it's like lifting the kettle of soup,
yeah.
but they wouldn't have any idea what to do. I don't
with
see much rehab going on for it, and I don't see them interfacing with the employer.
Wow.
I don't see them going back to the work site. Let me just say, too, that I think the typical successful physical therapist doing work injury management gets probably 50% of direct reimbursement from the employer, and the other 50% usually goes through work comp.
Okay.
So really the employer is 100% payer within 30 days. There's no usual and customary work comp. You're really going to look at better authorization.
Okay. And if I'm a physical therapist and I've got a couple of factories around the corner from me, who would I contact? Who would I initially make contact with at that business?
Never contact anyone until you know what you're doing.
Okay.
The worst mistake therapists make is thinking, I'll just go and talk to them and I'll tell them what I can do, whether they can or not, and they give a bad impression. And you can never undo the first bad impression.
Okay.
So be sure you're skilled. And one of the things we do in our trainings is we tell people, here's who to talk to, but what to say to them about what you can do. Here, And the other thing is, it could be a risk manager, it could be a safety manager, it could be an HR director, it could be the owner, mm-hmm. it could be the occupational health nurse. So there isn't one answer. That's a good question. It's getting to know that employer and finding out who's really the lead person in working.
And whether or not you can help or how you can help.
Exactly. So, and it's all about, can I help you, not take what I've got.
Exactly. And I think probably in an effort to be a full disclosure, obviously your company does this kind of training. So not only is that why you're well-versed, but also you have that experience as well.
We work in it every day.
Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. We've got to run, Susan. I apologize to our listeners. I kept Susan over longer than I should have. So I know I always promise that these podcasts will be concise and to the point, but you really are listening to an expert in the area of work injury management. And I want to just again, just tell you, thank you so much for taking your time today to join us for the second week in a row, Susan.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff.
And should anyone have any questions for Susan, I'll be happy to pass those on. If you want to send an email to feedback@pttalker.com, I'll be happy to forward those on. And Susan, again, want to wish you all the best and good luck at DSI Work Solutions. And for our listeners, I just want to remind you also that if you missed the previous week, Susan was our guest last week, and she gave a lot of great information. That podcast is available on iTunes, or certainly go to pttalker.com. So for now, this is Jeff Worrell saying so long, and I want to thank you for joining us at PT Talker.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.